Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is news, first the headlines. Chief of the Presidential Staff, Muldoko, says government to materialize three agreements with laborers. Police says the situation of the national security during Labor Day commemoration conducive. Those are the lines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dalat Pane. Chief of the Presidential Staff, Muldoko, at Jakarta Police Headquarters, as quoted by Antara News Agency on Wednesday, said that Indonesian government will materialize three agreements reached during a meeting between President Joko Widodo and several leaders of labor unions in Bogor, West Java on April 26. Muldoko also said that the meeting yielded three agreements, and all of them will most likely be materialized. First, the president agreed to revise the government regulation number 78/2015 on salaries as soon as possible. He further explained that the government needs to review and even revise the government regulation number 78/2015. The government wants to look for a new good formula which will mutually benefit both workers and business people. Head of the Indonesian Police Public Information Bureau, Brigadier General Dedi Prasetyo, stated in Jakarta on Wednesday that the national security situation during the commemoration of Labor Day in Indonesia was conducive in general. He said that the implementation of the aspirations of the workers in various regions was safe and peaceful. The Labor Day commemoration activity was enlivened not only the delivery of workers' aspirations, but also various social activities and competitions. As quoted by Antara News Agency, in safeguarding the security situation during May Day or 1st of May commemoration throughout Indonesia, Indonesian National Police and Indonesian Armed Forces, including the Civil Service Unit, deployed 80,000 joint personnel. Governor of East Java, Kofifa Indar Parawansa, ensured that 15,000 tons of imported garlic would soon enter the East Java market. Garlic that enters the East Java is certainly sufficient to meet the market needs. So it is expected that it can immediately reduce the price of garlic in the market. This was affirmed by Governor Kofifa when monitoring prices of basic necessities ahead of Ramadan at the market in Wadung Asri Waru, Sidoarjo on Wednesday. Escorted by Republika Online, she emphasized that the scarcity of garlic happened some time ago, so the price of garlic had increased more than 100%. Governor Kofifa also ensured that the supply of 15,000 tons of garlic would be sufficient to meet the market needs of East Java for 3 months to come. Ministry of Industry has engaged 656 small and medium industries and 60 designers to develop Muslim fashion industry throughout 2018-2019. Director General of Small, Medium and Multi-Industries at the Ministry of Industry, Gati Wibawaningsi, through press release of the Ministry of Industry in Jakarta on Wednesday, said that the training program carried out is integrated from upstream to downstream. She pointed out that example of the program is the link and match of the Muslim fashion industry with the textiles industry, technical guidance, certification of the Indonesian National Work Competency Standards, the capacity building of Muslim fashion of small and medium industries, and the development of new entrepreneurs of small and medium industries. In addition, there are also Muslim fashion project program in the form of competition and incubation for Muslim fashion startups, preparation of a roadmap for Muslim fashion industry development, and links and matches for the Muslim and designer fashion industries. According to her, the Muslim fashion industry in Indonesia needs to be boosted to apply Industrial Technology 4.0. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Pharma Veterinary Center, which is the technical implementation unit of the Directorate General of Animal Husbandry and Animal Health at the Ministry of Agriculture, launched a new rabies vaccine called Neo-Rabivet. This rabies vaccine using pasture strain has better quality and guarantees protection of animals from the threat of rabies, with duration of more than 1 year. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Director General of Animal Husbandry and Health, I. Ketut Diarmita, at the inauguration of Pharma Veterinary Center building and the launch of Neo-Rabivet in Surabaya, East Java on Wednesday, said that across Indonesia, in PACES 2030 rabies eradication program, the availability of good quality vaccines and large quantity is needed. This new rabies vaccine will help meet needs. Indonesia encouraged concrete cooperation among Asian countries during the 16th Ministerial Meeting of Asia Cooperation Dialogue, ACD, held in Doha, Qatar recently. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno LP Marsudi in a press release of the Foreign Ministry received by Antara News Agency on Wednesday said that there must be concrete cooperation from which the people of Asian countries can benefit to answer the challenge of the age. The ministerial meeting themed Partners in Progress brought together ministers and top officials from 34 ACD member states. They discussed ways to enhance cooperation to address various issues of mutual concern, including connectivity, education, food security, energy, water, culture, tourism, and sustainable development. Ministry of Industry continues to encourage the Muslim fashion industry to become globally more competitive in order to showcase Indonesia's willingness to become one of the world's Muslim fashion centers in 2020. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Minister of Industry Erlangga Hartarto at the opening of the 2019 Muslim Fashion Festival on Wednesday said that the market for Muslim wear is huge both outside and inside the country and needs to be dominated by Indonesian Muslim fashion industry. He also said that the increasing number of Muslims in the world has become one of the main triggers that have driven the growth of the Muslim fashion industry. In 2018, the total population of Muslims reached 24% of the total global population. Meanwhile, the State Global Islamic Economy reports that the fashion consumption among Muslims across the world is currently $250 billion, which is projected to continue to increase at a growth rate of 5%. By 2023, the consumption will be $361 billion. The sale of Muslim clothing in Indonesia is at $20 billion, with a growth rate of 18.2% per year. Well, listener, that's the news.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The topic of today's commentary is progress of educational development in Indonesia. Well, listener, the National Education Day is again commemorated on Tuesday, 2nd May 2019. This commemoration, like many other national commemoration, has become an annual ritual. This commemoration is now momentum to evaluate the extent of development progress in the field of education in Indonesia. If we look at some indicators, the education sector in Indonesia has made significant progress so far. One indicator is that 72.3% of early childhood in Indonesia has followed the education process. The enrollment rate for primary schools is almost 100%. The dropout rate has dropped to 0.26%, and the literacy rate among young people has reached almost 100%. The World Bank has recognized the progress of education development in Indonesia in several aspects. According to the World Bank, in terms of access to education, for example, the number of students who are now able to attend school has increased significantly. Increased access is carried out by increasing fund and enhancing participation of local actors in education governance, increasing teacher accountability and quality, and ensuring student readiness. According to the World Bank, although the expense of access to education for the community is considered to have increased significantly, unfortunately, the quality of education in Indonesia is still relatively low. The ranking indicator of the quality of education is reflected in the number of illiterate cases, which is still more than 30%. The quality of education in Indonesia is still a great challenge for the government. In fact, in terms of budget, funding for education has reached 444 trillion rupiah, or around 20% of total expenditure of the 2019 state budget. Of the 20% budget allocation for education, most of it is used to pay salaries, allowances, teacher certification, and construction of educational infrastructure. The amount of allocation for salaries, allowance, and certification of teachers was criticized by the World Bank. The World Bank criticized that Indonesian education budget allocation does not give free attention to the students' competence. Of course, the problem of the quality of education cannot be resolved based on the budget. Appropriate strategies are necessary from three relevant ministers. They are Minister of Education and Culture, Minister of Research, Technology and Higher Education, and Minister of Religious Affairs. These three ministers and the general public need to focus on exact strategies such as the existence of competency-based curricula for students and the strengthening capacity of school management for teachers' resources. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be again in our regular program. Today in history. Well, we start printing on May 2nd on National Education Day of Indonesia. May 2nd, 1889 is the birth of educational figure of Indonesia, Suryadi Suryaningrat, who is well known as Ki Hajar Dewantara. He is the pioneer of education for Indonesian indigenous community. He established Taman Siswa, an educational institution which gave opportunity for Cambodian natives to get education like the nobles or the Dutch people. To remember his services, his birth is commemorated in Indonesia as National Education Day. He was confirmed as a national hero by Indonesian President Sukarno on November 28, 1959. The next event is that in 1964, Cut Nyat Nadin was determined as Indonesian national hero. Cut Nyat Nadin is an Achenese woman who struggled against the Dutch colonial in the period of Aceh War. In her old age, she was arrested by the Dutch and exiled to Sumedang, West Java. She passed away in Sumedang on November 6, 1908. On May 2, 1964, by Indonesian government, Cut Nyat Nadin was determined as Indonesian national hero based on Presidential Decree Number 106/1964. Well, listener, the last event is that in 1994, Nelson Mandela won general election. Nelson Mandela is a black-skinned politician of South Africa. Since he was a student, Nelson began to become an activist to oppose apartheid in South Africa. Because they failed to oppose the government of white skin in 1962, he was arrested and accused to conduct sabotage and conspire to overthrow the government. And he was punished life imprisonment at the Lithuania court. But due to international insistence, Nelson Mandela was finally freed in 1990. After eliminating apartheid politics, South Africa held general election of multi-parties and races. This general election was participated in by Congress Party of Africa, ANC, led by Nelson Mandela. On May 2, 1994, Nelson Mandela won historical general election in South Africa and made him be the first black-skinned president of South Africa. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Saat jauh darimu, terlintas tanya dalam anganku. Benarkah di benakmu, hanyalah diriku yang bertata? Cukup bertanya.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, My Indonesia. The topic of today's My Indonesia is government launches Clean Indonesian Movement. Coordinating Minister of Maritime Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan in Jakarta on last Sunday launched Clean Indonesian Movement. This movement was introduced to the public for the first time as phone up request to all levels of Indonesian society so that every individual cares for reducing waste production and manage their daily waste properly. He mentioned that the Clean Indonesia movement is a joint movement and the responsibility of all parties to keep Indonesia clean. Moreover, the waste management program is a very important one for the government, which must be carried out in an integrated manner by all parties. In addition, waste management must have economic and environmental benefits. More importantly, this movement must change people's behavior. He also explained that on one hand, being one of the largest archipelagic countries in the world, Indonesia has many potential marine and fishery resources, including tourism potential that has become a world tourism destination. On the other hand, Indonesia also deals with the problem of plastic waste that has polluted the sea and damaged the marine ecosystem. Seeing this condition, it's time for all liberal society to realize the impact and change their behavior in the use of plastic that is used daily. Minister Luhut further said the plastic waste in the sea can break down into microplastic. If the object is ingested by fish and the fish is eaten by humans, it can disrupt human health. He added that in Jakarta, there is at least 8,000 tons of garbage per day. Thus, he appeals for the public to reduce the use of plastic, especially those that are used once or single use and are advised to bring their own food or beverage to anywhere. Minister Luhut also said that many programs had been carried out by the government in handling waste issues, for example, providing facilities such as TPS 3R, Recycle, Reuse, and Reduced, Community-based Total Sanitation, Waste-to-Energy Program, Waste Water Treatment Plant, Reuse, Derived Fuel Waste Treatment System, or Green Industry Movement. Furthermore, he said that with Indonesian population of more than 200 million people, it's necessary to change habits toward waste, to care for food or goods purchased, not only the contents but also the packaging. The launch of the Clean Indonesian movement was attended by various communities concerned about the problem of waste in Indonesia, Asian volunteers who were entertained by many famous artists. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Tak ada yang harus kita sesali. Semua indah yang pernah kita alami, meskipun terbatas dan tak mungkin terikat janji abadi. Aku, dirimu, dirinya tak akan pernah mengerti tentang suratan. Aku, dirimu, dirinya tak rasa bila sadari cinta takkan salah. Kita putar kembali jalinan cerita, mungkin tak begini. Aku, dirimu, dirinya tak akan pernah mengerti tentang suratan. Aku, dirimu, dirinya tak rasa bila sadari cinta takkan Saling pandang dan tak akan lebih lagi. Aku dirimu dirinya tak akan pernah mengerti tentang suratan. Aku dirimu dirinya tak rasa bila sadari cinta takkan.
You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
Listeners, in today's Indonesian Wonder, we will introduce you Suro Baca Tradition. Month of Ramadan will arrive immediately. Various unique traditions are held by Indonesian people to welcome this holy month. One of them is Suro Baca Tradition. Towards Ramadan, Bugis and Makassar people hold the Suro Baca Tradition or reading prayer together at front of various kinds of typical menus before being eaten together. The tradition from generation to generation is generally held a day before the first day of Ramadan. In addition to welcoming Ramadan, the people hold the tradition in a bid to foster togetherness. At the time of Suro Baca Tradition, families members gather at the house of the elder's family. Earlier, usually the family who got married collected funds to elder's side or person who was believed to hold the tradition. The fund was collected in accordance with their economic ability. It was also allowed to anybody who wanted to donate livestock and plantation products voluntarily. This is called Bilang Ulu. Now, one day before holding the tradition, usually women are busy to provide many kinds of foods to be served at the tradition. They are culinary made from kampung chicken, milk fish, and lawa, a kind of vegetable made from banana. There is also paria kambu or bitter melon cooking without seeds. This is filled with mashed and spicy fish. When Suro Baca tradition is held, Bugis and Makassar people pray for their families' members who have passed away and also pray to the God Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to give good health, fortune and long life. They are also grateful because they are still able to gather before Ramadan. After praying, the foods which have been provided are eaten together. Then all people who attend the event ask for pardon each other before the holy month of Ramadan comes. Some kinds of foods are also shared to neighbors. The tradition is also meant to share with surrounding people. Listeners, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today. Thanks for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Listeners, the multiculturalism of Jakarta, comprising various ethnicities and culture, attracts many people to conduct business and earn a living in the city. No wonder Jakarta has been the center of business and indicator of development for other regions. A mixture of ethnicities and acculturation also contributes to enhancing the culture and traditions of Jakarta's residents. Therefore, determination to preserving the multiculturalism of Jakarta encourages associations of Indonesian handicraft exporters and producers to make Jakarta the icon of the 21st Jakarta International Handicraft Trade Fair, or INACRAF 2019. INACRAF 2019 will take place at Jakarta Convention Center from 24th to 28 April 2019. The Handicraft Trade Fair presents the theme Jakarta Enjoyable Multicultural Diversities. The multi-ethnicities and acculturation contribute to the abundance and beauty of culture in Jakarta. INACRAF is aimed at improving the welfare of Indonesian craftsmen and handicraft business people. INACRAF was firstly carried out in 1999. From time to time, the INACRAF has always been awaited by craftsmen, handicraft business people, international buyers, and handicraft enthusiasts. The trade fair contributes to developing the export value of Indonesian handicraft. Last year, INACRAF 2018 was participated in by 1,022 buyers from 47 countries and 135,000 visitors. The retail transaction reached 139.7 billion rupiah. Meanwhile, the trade fair recorded a trade value of 10,620,500 US dollars. This year, INACRAF 2019 will be participated in by 1,300 stands across Indonesia. It features not only local craft but also Moroccan craft as the country focus of the fair. This year, INACRAF 2019 will feature not only Indonesian and Moroccan handicraft products but also the hybrid products between Indonesia and Moroccan craftsmen, so that acculturation between the two countries can be established. Listeners, that was Michelini about INACRAF 2019. See you on our next edition.
Temukan apa arti di balik cerita. Berbunga-bunga membuat seakan aku melayang terbuai asmara. Oh. Adakah satu arti di balik tatapan tersipu malu akan sebuah senyuman membuat suasana jadi nyata.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of Voice of Indonesia, welcome back in a music corner. Today, we are about to present you a song by Nunung Wardiman. Nunung Yulianti Wardiman is known as one of the best female jazz singers in Indonesia. Her name has been well known since she released two series of albums, Nada and Improvisasi, in 1981. Then she released an album entitled Nunung Wardiman in 1983. One of the mainstay songs in this album was Surat Undangan. The song created by Julius Viollet tells the story of a woman whom one day got a letter from her ex-boyfriend. Unfortunately, the letter contained a wedding invitation of her ex-boyfriend. Well, listeners, now we would like to present you a song entitled Surat Undangan. Enjoy this song.
Tinggal pergi, tiada kabar berita. Hidupku merana, berdebar hatiku. Tiba ujung suratmu, ku membacanya dan kecewa. Apa kini harapan kekasih tak kembali yang ku terima undangan. Esok akan mengikat janji, sahabat karibku telah menawan hatimu. Ku doa selamat dan bahagia. Suratmu, ku membacanya dan kecewa. Apa kini harapan kekasih tak kembali? Esok akan mengikat janji, sahabat negariku telah menawan hatimu. Ku doa selamat dan bahagia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hatiku hancur mengenang dia berkeping-keping janjinya. Kini air mata jatuh bercucuran, tiada lagi harapan. Tiada seindah waktu itu, dunia berseri-seri. Malam bagai siang seterang hatiku, penuh harapan denganmu. Kini hancur berderai di hatiku yang lama ku simpan, hancur kini sebelum berkembang. Mengapa ini harus terjadi di tengah kebahagiaan? Ingin ku rasakan lebih lama lagi hidup bersama denganmu. Waktu itu dunia berseri-seri, malam bagai siang seterang hatiku, penuh harapan denganmu. Kini hancur berderai di hatiku yang lama ku simpan, hancur kini sebelum berkembang. Kini hancur berderai kepedihan berantai, kunci di hatiku yang lama ku simpan, hancur kini sebelum berkembang. Mengapa ini harus terjadi di tengah kebahagiaan. Ingin ku rasakan lebih lama lagi hidup bersama denganmu. Dunia berseri-seri, malam bagai siang, seterang hatiku
penuh. All right, listener, it's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening. But stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter at VOI Indonesia and send us email on voi@voinews.id.